top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
Good evening. This is the Prime Evening News for today, Wednesday, April 10th, 2024. I'm Richie Farrell.
Top of the
in the headlines. Architect,
when it
Electoral Coalition member,
happens.
And former Business Forum Inc. President Severa McKenzie tells Dominicans to strongly advocate for appropriate electoral laws and regulations in Dominica. Express de Zil plans to launch its biggest ever vessel, a 60-meter-long catamaran built in Norway, which will redefine travel in the Caribbean and provide unparalleled comfort and operational excellence.
When it happens, where?
And Australia's Foreign Minister Penny Wong has suggested her country could recognize Palestinian statehood to increase momentum towards peace.
Right on.
But Hamas should have no role in its governance. The news is brought to you with the very kind compliments of Archipelago Trading. More details when we come back.
Q, top of the hour news. As it happens, when
it happens. Be sure you settle for more. Get up to 35% off Beacon's fully comprehensive vehicle insurance and still cover a whole lot more. Enjoy higher discounts and better coverage for any kind of vehicle, car, SUV or pickup with free loss of use, windscreen cover and special perils. To sign up, call Archipelago Trading at 448-5247 or log on to beacon.co.tt and settle for more today.
Welcome back. Architect, member of the Dominica Electoral Coalition and former Dominica Business Forum President Severa McKenzie cautions Dominicans to get serious about strongly advocating for the implementation of appropriate reformed electoral laws and regulations in Dominica. In his presentation on Tuesday night's Global View on Q show hosted by Sheridan Gregoire, McKenzie stressed that electoral laws of any country are what determines the very existence of its people.
Well, I believe that we are at a stage right now where Dominicans can either get the electoral reform legislation that they want and deserve, or it can pass them by, and the status and the modus operandi, the status quo continues. I think we have come a very long way to where we are today, to the point where the powers that be are talking about going to parliament with the legislation. But my concern personally is that as citizens of a country, how can a government go to parliament with legislation governing the electoral laws of the country without consultation or the population saying it? And this is where I think we in the Electoral Reform Coalition are, because it is very, I think the length of time that the struggle has taken to get us to this point, a lot of people have given up, and a number of people are very pessimistic that Dominica will ever have electoral reform, which is a very sad situation, basically, really, because I think that people should realize that the electoral laws of the any country is what determines their very existence.
Mr. McKenzie said electoral reform and the electoral process determines the future of a nation and must be done properly to ensure economic success and political stability in any country. He cautioned Dominicans to treat this process as a national project, as these amendments, if outlined appropriately, can greatly benefit citizens and residents of Dominica.
You know, it is the electoral laws that allow governments to be in place and in power and politicians to rule. And if you do not have the mechanisms in place for free and fair elections, your people can elect their governments without intimidation in a fair, free and fair environment, then we are definitely heading the wrong way. I have had my own share of political victimization, economic victimization, and a number of different things. So I know what it is when you have a government on your back that stifles your right to exist. And it is for this reason I believe that Dominicans have to decide whether they want a free and fair electoral revised electoral legislation going to Parliament, or if they will allow the Prime Minister, who has the authority over everything in the state. He has authority over the police, he has authority over the Electoral Commission, he has authority over the President, he has authority over the churches, with the exception of a few of the public service. So the Prime Minister and the Dominican Labour Party have authority over everything that is happening in this country. And the only leeway that the people of Dominica have right now is to influence the legislation that is being prepared in reviewing the electoral laws of Dominica.
Prime Minister Roosevelt Sciarra told the media on April 5, 2024, that in April 2024, his legal team will make select electoral recommendations public from the completed electoral report, which was submitted by esteemed jurist Sir Dennis Byron on June 12, 2023. The Prime Minister says the reason for pursuing that approach is to fast-track the updated electoral policies, which do not require referendums to amend parts of the Constitution. This, his legal team says, will ensure the commencement of electoral reforms in the first instance. Sir Byron's recommendations consist of the following. Phase 1 of the report includes a draft regulation of Electors Bill 2023 and a draft registration of Electors Bill 2023, as well as Phase 2 report, which consists of the draft House of Assembly Elections Bill 2023, the draft House of Assembly Elections Regulations 2023, the draft House of Assembly Election Petition Rules 2023, and the draft Electoral Commission Bill 2023. Mr. Severin McKenzie noted the control of the DLP government majority in Parliament, 19-3 to be exact, and stated that once the draft legislation reaches Parliament, it most likely would become law because of the DLP's majority. In more news, the Caribbean Community, CARICOM, and South Africa have agreed to conduct more regular dialogue and have also committed to formalizing a mechanism to do so. This was one of the main action points emanating from a CARICOM South Africa ministerial meeting held via video conference on March 22, 2024. CARICOM also reaffirmed its commitment to signing a memorandum of understanding with the African Union to establish a framework for cooperation between the sides. CARICOM ministers with responsibility for foreign affairs engaged with their South African counterpart, Her Excellency Grace Naledia Mandisa Pandor, Minister of International Relations and Cooperation of South Africa, in a meeting co-chaired by Jamaica's Minister of Foreign Affairs and Foreign Trade, Senator Kamina Johnson-Smith. The two sides exchanged views on the ongoing situations in Gaza and Haiti, climate change and financing, development financing, and the imminent Fourth International Conference on Small Island Developing States to be held in Antigua and Barbuda. The sides also discussed CARICOM-AU trade relations and the development of infrastructure to facilitate trade between the community and Africa. Speaking at the opening, CARICOM Secretary General Dr. Carla Barnett said the meeting marked a renewal of high-level interaction between CARICOM and South Africa. She recalled past engagements with the late South African President Nelson Mandela in St. Lucia in 1998, with former South African presidents Thabo Mbeki and Jacob Zuma in 2003 and 2009, respectively, and more recent engagements in the multilateral sphere, such as the Commonwealth. CARICOM has enjoyed strong political ties with South Africa. The community was public and unrelenting in its opposition to apartheid. Today, our advocacy focuses on current challenges such as accelerating the negative impact of climate change, the urgent need to reform the global financial architecture to achieve equality and resilience, building food and nutrition security, and threats to regional security, the Secretary General stated. HHV Whitchurch and Company Limited will be hosting DDA's Jazz and Creole VIP section Marketing Manager of HHV Whitchurch and Company Limited, Michelle Joseph, promises a more enticing VIP experience at the festival on May 5th, 2024. Patrons can look forward to unlimited drinks this year.
It is no coincidence that Whitchurch has vowed to provide this year's Jazz and Creole experience with yet another unique and well-catered VIP platform. Whitchurch, which has been serving Dominica since 1910, operates with the tagline, Powering the Nation. Last year, we provided our patrons with an atmosphere like no other. Our guests were treated like the VIPs they were, with a wide selection of food and drink, and not to mention quality customer service. Now, I'm not going to stand here and say, come experience the same VIP. That would be boring. No, we are inviting you to an even better VIP experience. Whitchurch, having put forth many top-notch Carib Hype VIPs and now entering its second year as Jazz and Creole VIP host, knows a thing or two about putting on a good VIP. So what's in store for you this year? For one, an exclusive bar with unlimited drinks from your favorite brands, of course, like Johnny Walker, Smirnoff, Gordon's Gin, Caribe, Carib, Juicy, Nestle, and Island Sips, just to name a few. No more ice or no more drinks is not in our vocabulary. We would like you to enjoy the show while sipping your favorite beverage, of course, all night long, responsibly.
Ms. Joseph said the food station will have a wide array of foods and desserts and revealed that tickets are already going quickly. She advises interested persons to get their tickets early. She was addressing the media at the DDA conference room on Wednesday.
Our food and dessert station will feature a wide range of delicious items, including vegetarian options. Now, a dessert section in this day and age would be quite incomplete without Dominica's favorite ice cream brand, Creamery Novelties. Delight yourself in Creamery treats all day long. Remember, there are no restrictions on drink and food. VIPs will also receive branded paraphernalia as keepsakes of their Jazz and Creole 2024 VIP experience. And of course, we would like you to relax and enjoy the jazz vibe, so we will be providing lounge stations. To capture the moments with the Creole Fusion outfits, VIP patrons will have the opportunity to have their photos taken with our professional photographers. And of course, there will be private security and private restroom access. Tickets are now available for only $325 EC dollars and can be purchased from Whitchurch's main office on Old Street Roseau, Whitchurch's Travel and Western Union office on Bay Street, Portsmouth, that's upstairs the RBD building, the Discover Dominica Authority office, and online at dominicafestivals.com. Do not, I repeat, do not. Some of you all waited too late last year and they were sold out. Tickets are moving in batches of 5s and 7s and even 10s. So come to Jazz and Creole and be treated like the VIP you are. Remember, Sunday, 5th May 2024, Cabrits National Park, Jazz and Creole VIP experience powered by HHV Whitchurch and Company Limited.
And that was Marketing Manager of HHV Whitchurch and Company Limited, Michelle Joseph. You're tuned in with Q95 News. Watchborn Coffee, CCM President and Public Relations Officer of the Electoral Reform Coalition, ERC, commented on Prime Minister Skerrit's recent announcement regarding the release of the first draft of some elements of proposed electoral reform legislation and regulations. Coffee stated that the ERC is closely monitoring that situation, noting the Prime Minister's indication that the legislation will be presented to Parliament before the next budget debate. However, Mr. Coffey expressed the ERC's concerns over statements made by Prime Minister Skerrit, which they perceive as potentially threatening Dominicans who did not agree to the recommended laws as proposed by him and his team of legal advisers. Coffey spoke on the Global View on Q show hosted by Sheridan Gregoire last night.
The Electoral Reform Coalition notes with keen interest the recent announcement by Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerrit that the revised electoral legislation will be presented to Parliament before the next budget debate. The ERC, however, remains concerned about the statements of the Prime Minister, which tend to threaten the Dominican population into accepting what appears to be his legislation prepared by his team of experts led by the Attorney General, while the identity of his electoral reform legislation team is yet to be revealed to the citizenry. Now that the electoral reform legislation has entered the critical phase of being prepared for parliamentary debate, Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerrit must recognize that his deceptive involvement in the matter demonstrates a blatant situation of conflict of interest. To build the citizenry's confidence in this electoral reform process, the Prime Minister should immediately recuse himself from the process and allow the Office of the Attorney General, supported by a grouping of professional experts, the responsibility to proceed with the preparation of the revised electoral legislation.
Coffey added that since the Prime Minister called a snap election in 2022, he has shown complete disregard for the Dominican people.
After more than 15 years of manipulating the electoral process to ensure the Dominican Labour Party victory at the polls in five general election cycles, broken promises of electoral reform to the population, denying the Electoral Commission the necessary resources to execute its constitutional responsibility, using the Attorney General as a spokesperson for the Dominican Labour Party, and dissolving Parliament to call a snap election the very day that Sir Dennis Byron submitted his report and draft legislation on November 6, 2022, Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerrit has demonstrated bad faith, total disrespect to the Dominican people, and has proven himself not to be trustworthy, neither honest nor sincere. Recent developments in Russia should be a glaring example of how fragile democracy can be when an authoritarian leader decides to take advantage of the population through intimidation.
You've just heard statements from Washburn Coffey, CCM President and Public Relations Officer of the Electoral Reform Coalition, ERC. General Secretary of the Dominica Amalgamated Workers Union, Leah Shillingford, reflects on the organization's long-standing support for a trade union congress. Recalling a message from Dawu in 2017 urging unity, she emphasized the importance of maintaining this stance. Shillingford believes trade unions should unite and prioritize strength through unity, particularly in the establishment of a national trade congress. She spoke to state-owned radio.
From the Dawu's stance, and over the years, Dawu has been in support of a trade union congress. And in particular, I remember one of the Dawu's message from May 2017. The article was about embracing unity, and therefore, even today, that continues. We should embrace the strength in unity, and I speak on behalf of all of the unions as well, the trade unions in Dominica, that we should embrace that strength in unity moving forward with the trade union congress. The union did acknowledge in that address of May 17 that we needed to do more. And of course, I did call on my fellow union leaders to give that trade union congress priority. So the Dawu has always been in support of a trade union congress. And during that time, the Dawu was saying that in addition to the May celebration and other key activities, consultations and initiatives that can be undertaken jointly, they were lacking due to absence of the trade union congress. Okay, so the Dawu again has always been in support of the trade union congress, and the Dawu believed that the time had come then and perhaps even now for the trade union movement in Dominica to re-strategize and restructure.
Leah Shillingford, the General Secretary of the Dominica Amalgamated Workers Union. This is Q95 News. during an appearance on the Creole Heartbeat program hosted by Leroy Waddix Charles today. Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerrett expressed his belief that both society and practitioners in the green and orange economy fail to acknowledge the economic advantages that can arise from utilizing the natural environment. He emphasized that while protecting these areas is paramount, there are environmentally sustainable methods to generating income.
I believe that the society and, of course, the practitioners in those two groups of the green economy, and, of course, the green economy talking about the use of the forest and the use of the environment to generate economic activity. Because people believe that because it's a forest reserve, we should not seek to make use of it to benefit the economy. We have to protect it so that which it offers, we can benefit from. So the whole issue of environmental research, the whole issue of botany, and the whole issue of pharmacology and pharmacological research and using the plants within the environment, hiking and even within the forest. Within the forest, you go to many national parks around the world where you have accommodation, but accommodation that is blended with the national park. And so we have to look at how do we take advantage of the resources which the environment has and translate that into money, translate into assets to people, translate that into job. Because if you have a piece of land and you have nothing on it planted, it is not used as security in the bank to take a loan to do something else. It's of no value to you. You see what I'm saying? And if we have 45%+ of our environment are protected by law, how do we use it?
Mr. Skerrett also revealed that, in line with the government's commitment to boost and cultivate the orange economy, he has tasked Minister of Environment Cozier Frederick with spearheading its development. He said this sector represents untapped potential for growth and development in the Caribbean region.
The idea is to use the environment and to look at the economic opportunities where this is concerned. In respect to orange economy, that's where we're talking about a real export industry of our artists, of an artist of all form, the ballet dancers, the traditional dancers, the Creole singers, the Carlos singers, the Bouillon singers, the Calypso singers, the people with the performing arts and a wide range of areas there, where I do not believe that we, not only Dominica, we, I believe, in the Caribbean, we have not in this as an export industry and a huge foreign exchange earner. So when a Dominican goes out to perform and he brings back $10,000 and is deposited into his bank account, that's foreign exchange. That is money we didn't have in the economy that he's adding to the economy and help grow the economy. And I think to even our statistics in the national statistics, we don't capture that as a contributor to the economy. This is why I'm saying the Dominican economy is way larger than it's been reported, because there's so many elements of it that are not captured. And so Minister Cozier Frederick, I've designated him to lead on the orange economy. So we're working now with the OECS on two projects which we'll benefit from to bring training, to bring policies that we can implement that could facilitate taking advantage of the opportunities in the orange economy, and also getting the artists and those stakeholders within the orange economy to better appreciate their role and their contribution in respect to economic activity.
Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerrett, a 15% increase in salaries for public officers is the target percentage announced by the executive of the Dominica Public Service Union. In a recent media press briefing at the Financial Center conference room, the Prime Minister said that his negotiation team had not yet received a formal request from the DPSU, but he expects one soon and is looking forward to engaging with the union along with his negotiating team to reach a reasonable agreement that is beneficial for both parties to in the negotiation.
I believe that the union has a responsibility and a duty and an obligation to represent the interests of its membership. And I never take offense to umbrage them doing that. I mean, so it's up to them to decide what they believe they want to demand of the government, and then there'll be negotiations. I think we've always found a way of having respectful and mutually beneficial negotiations with the union over the last 20 years. And I have no doubt that this them will be no different.
Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerrett. In other news, El Express de Zil has announced plans to launch its biggest ever vessel to sail the Caribbean Sea later this year. The company declared in a news release that it intends to redefine travel in the Caribbean with this new vessel, providing unparalleled comfort and operational excellence. The 60-meter-long catamaran was built in a Norway shipyard. It has an advanced stabilization system, full air conditioning, and several onboard refinements. They include a duty-free retail area, as well as food and beverage outlets. The new vessel will accommodate 428 passengers and can take vehicles aboard. Australia's Foreign Minister Penny Wong has suggested her country could recognize Palestinian statehood to increase momentum towards peace. However, Hamas could have no role, in its governance. Both Australia's opposition and the Zionist Federation of Australia say such a move would be premature. Canberra has long said that recognition of a Palestinian nation could only come as part of a two-state solution brokered with Israel. But Ms. Wong's comments echo a speech by UK Foreign Secretary David Cameron earlier this year, in which he hinted the United Kingdom too could recognize Palestinian statehood without the support of Israel. Earlier today, Spain's Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez confirmed his government was already working towards recognition, arguing it was, open quote, in the geopolitical interest of Europe, end quote.
This could be a big diplomatic shift for the Albanese government. It currently does not recognise a Palestinian state, but overnight, Foreign Minister Penny Wong used a speech to make the case for why one should be established. She says that it has the potential to strengthen forces for peace and undermine extremists like Hamas.
The simple truth is that a secure and prosperous future for both Israelis and Palestinians will only come with a two-state solution.
And that's the Prime Evening News. Here's a recap of our headlines. Architect, Electoral Coalition member, and former Business Forum Inc. president Severa McKenzie tells Dominicans to strongly advocate for appropriate electoral laws and regulations in Dominica. El Express de Zille plans to launch its biggest ever vessel, a 60-meter-long catamaran built in Norway, which will redefine travel in the Caribbean and provide unparalleled comfort and operational excellence. And Australia's Foreign Minister Penny Wong has suggested her country could recognize Palestinian statehood to increase momentum towards peace, but Hamas should have no role in its governance. The news was brought to you with the very kind compliments
only on Q90
of Archipelago Trading
Station. Top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q90.